guest who's written an amazing book, and I think you're going to learn a lot today. And it's based on many of the concepts that we've talked about too here on the couch in the past. But this book ties so much together of what I talked about when it comes to the heart-brain coherence theories and so many other things. So without further ado, let us introduce him. Dr. Mark Halpern, welcome to the couch.
Hi, thank you for having me. Great to be here today.
Oh, it's awesome to have you too. And thank you so much for writing this book. I'm going to hold it up right now so everybody can see it.
Well, there great. It is.
Trying to get the glare, the coherence revolution, finding flow on your journey to the present moment. There it is, guys. We'll hold it back up in a little bit too, so you can find out also how to pick up the book. Oh man, you know, so what, Mark? It's just, what is this? We're going to talk about finding flow. I'm getting in the flow.
That's right. Finding flow and getting in and finding out what works for you. I mean, most people, they walk around in their lives, they just don't know what tools they have at their disposal
exactly.
to allow them to deal with all the stressors that we deal with on a daily basis.
Exactly. It's so true. And in your book, you lay it out. You give so many ideas and so many techniques and so many concepts that I think are really going to help people. And it's really a comfortable read, too. It's not there's science in it. There's so many studies and background information that you give that it's the real deal. So let me give you a little background here on Dr. Mark Halpern. He's a chiropractor, an author, lecturer, certified heart math practitioner. And I love that. You're also certified in additional healing modalities, I understand. Mm-hmm. Psych K.
Yep.
And one of my faves, Ho'oponopono. So in both your personal and professional life, you've been drawn to methods that promote optimal health and healing for the brain, body, and the spirit. And in your book, Coherence Revolution, you're pulling it all together and really giving people a good idea of how they can practice these techniques, achieve, you know, heart-brain coherence in all aspects of their lives, you know. And this is all about mental and physical healing as well, and energetic, you know, to help others too.
That's right.
So thanks again. And I just talking about your journey, you know, it in the PR material, I love reading that because it's great. They're spot on. They say on your journey, Dr. Halpern, you've been living a double life.
Yes.
What is that? Tell us more about that double life.
Well, you know, on the surface, everything has been great. I lived a great childhood. I don't have much to complain about. We lived sort of a middle-class upbringing. Yeah. I had friends and, you know, my social life was good. I got into chiropractic. I was married and I had two kids. And I, you know, everything on the surface really looks great. Yeah. But underneath it, there's this constant and at times debilitating anxiety.
Oh,
and nobody would know it. I mean, I lived my life. I did everything that people would think that you were supposed to do. I never missed a day of work. I never stayed in the house all day and, you know, couldn't leave the house. But
wow.
It was always a challenge. It was always that feeling of I was about to go write my final exam, or I'm about to go jump off a cliff, or I'm about to find out that most scary thing, you know, and that was always there. So trying to live a normal life under this fight or flight or anxious state, it's not always easy.
Gosh, it sure isn't, you know. So I know, you know, you probably have those, you know, repetition thoughts, going 100 miles an hour, trying to see what's, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel and manage things, and perhaps having some physical anxious symptoms, elevated heart rate, dizziness,
right.
You know, all of those lack of breath issues.
High blood pressure, all of it, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it really, you know, it really does. So you talk in your book a little bit about trying some of those traditional modalities, you know,
right.
Psychology, and you tried meds and things, and those didn't cut.
I did everything. I mean, if you think about what you could do for anxiety, I did the Western approach, you know, from medication and psychotherapy and cognitive behavioral therapy, but I also did energy healers and Reiki, and I did zero point energy. I had someone work on me. I had someone, you know, cure me of my past life transgressions. And so I've really done all of it. To some degree, you know, some things helped, some things didn't. And that's really what I talk about in the book, that there's so many things that I'm trying to help people avoid really the things that are a waste of time and the things that really will push you forward. And, you know, I did the, I think talk therapy is great, but the catharsis, the feeling of getting it out feels wonderful, except for 10 minutes after you leave the therapist's office, you want to go back in because you've got more to say and there's more to come out. So I realized I couldn't just talk my problems away. And medication does work for some people, but I think the trade-off is always, you know, there's always side effects. And for me, there was never one that the side effects outweighed the benefit. I mean, the benefit outweighed the side effects. So, you know, I've just tried it all.
Gosh, thanks for sharing that information too. And as a psychologist, you know, I get what you're saying. I just, you know, people want to talk and they want to just kind of move, let it all out and get it out of their brain. And I hear people tell me things that they really have built up after a week or a couple of weeks or whatever. And they say, oh, I feel so much better. But the deal is, you and I know, is that we're building neural patterns and we're just clustering up those little things that are growing like a snowball down a hill, you know? So talking about it, and you also talk about talk and the words we use, which we'll get into in a bit, but that kind of, to me, makes it worse. So I teach many of your principles, but I thank you again for your book, The Coherence Revolution, because it really does define a lot of these techniques for everybody to work out. So you talk about some of those brain-based healing techniques that you learned, you know, on your journey. So those were just sort of a few that were pretty cool for you. Can you talk about those?
Well, you know, for me, anything that put me in the moment, anything that put me in the present moment was always something that helped me get out of anxiety, because I think that, as you'll realize, and I think most people who deal with stress realize that whenever you're sort of in the future, you've got anxiety, you're anxious about what's to come.
Sure.
When you're thinking about the past, that's more depression. You're more depressed about what's already happened. And really the only place that there is none of that is in the present moment. And so, you know, I talk about in my book, I would do things like jumping off cliffs and scuba diving and jumping out of airplanes and doing all these crazy things that, you know, most people would get anxious about.
Right.
But for me, it was the opposite, because it put me in the moment, just like meditation puts you in the moment. And so I've really just been striving to get into the present moment, like when I'm with a patient, when I'm one-on-one with a patient and you're really there with them, nothing else in the outside world comes in, and so I don't feel anxiety. And so the idea is to find as many things that can put you in the moment. And when I talk about brain-based now, you know, other than medications, there are things called wearables that will stimulate your nervous system in different ways, that different vibrations, different things that you can put on. You know, there's different ways of using nature. There's different ways of using your senses to stimulate your brain, you know, different smells, different tastes. And so, you know, in the book, I go into this self-inquiry. In other words, figure out what sounds, you know, maybe in the morning you want to relax, but at night you're going out and you want to be in a upper, you know, in a heightened mood, in a joyous mood. And so different emotions are higher or lower energy. And so different smells might put you into different emotions. Different tastes might put you into different emotions. Different sights might put you into different emotions. And so I talk a lot about doing the self-inquiry,
right,
so that you can create a process for yourself, so that you know the tools in your tool bag to put you into a more relaxed and what I call a coherent state.
Beautifully said. And one of those brain-based healing techniques that I really, you know, vibrate to is that I use is the Ho'oponopono. And you're a certified instructor of that.
Yes.
And, just maybe we could touch on that briefly.
Ho'oponopono really got me. I read about Dr. Hugh Len's story, and there was a book called Zero Limits that goes right into it. But really, it's a very simple technique. It's thank you, forgive me, I love you, I'm sorry.
Mm.
And the way the technique is supposed to be done is when you say those four words,
yes,
they call it cleaning. And what it means is you're cleaning your subconscious, your soul, your energy source, whatever you want to call it. And so even when something isn't your fault necessarily, but if it comes into your consciousness, you can start to clean on it. In other words, if you see a plane crash, you weren't responsible for the plane crash, but there's a reason that it came into your subconscious. So if you are focusing on it, saying, thank you, forgive me, I love you, I'm sorry, you are starting to clean your, I guess, soul energy source background of that issue. And so when you start looking at all of your past issues or current problems, when you're cleaning all day, thank you, forgive me, I love you, I'm sorry. Not only are you participating in what I would call the ancient ritual of Ho'oponopono, but for me, it was very much a lot simpler than that. When you say the word, I love you, when you say the word, thank you, or forgive me, or I'm sorry, it feels good. It feels good to say those things, and it brings on an emotion. And so if you are saying all day, whether it's, you know, about something specific or just in general, I love you, thank you, I'm sorry, forgive me, you're starting to embody that emotion. Sure. And the fact is, and you mentioned a few minutes ago about your racing mind. Our minds are racing all the time, and it becomes quite addictive. And as it becomes addictive, your body gets used to producing the chemicals of stress.
Right.
And so if you start practicing things that create emotions that are positive, gratitude and love, you're now practicing those emotions. You're practicing that chemical release. And so the idea is that you have to practice the emotional response more than the mind racing that produces the anxiety. And one has to become more dominant than the other. And so if your racing mind is going all day, it's hard to shut that process off.
Yeah.
So for me, things like Ho'oponopono, if my mind is racing, I just sit there and focus on thank you, forgive me, I love you, I'm sorry, over and over and over and over again,
right,
until that becomes my pattern. And then you're no longer thinking about all the things that you were thinking about. You're thinking about love and gratitude and happiness.
Right. And that, you know, beautifully said, Dr. Halpern. And that, you know, the Ho'oponopono is an empirically based technique that originated in Hawaii, you know, in psychiatric hospitals. So, I mean, that is so true. And the thing is what you're doing is you're talking to yourself, you're forgiving yourself for all of your whatever you beat yourself up about, and you're telling yourself you love you, you're healing yourself. And through repetition rehearsal, you're right, it's just continually getting into your mind and I forgive you, you know?
Yes.
Oh God, when do we ever forgive ourselves for,
yes,
you know, spinning on, oh, I shouldn't have done that in
the
past.
It's nice to say it.
Yes, yes, exactly. No, beautifully said. So I love
the concept. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the concept of heart math, which is the topic that I teach, this course is really about heart math, and it's a big part of it. But heart math is all about practicing an emotional response.
Yes.
And knowing in different situations how to practice an emotion. And so I think that's a real unique part about heart math, and also about what I do in my courses. When do we practice our emotional state? When do we identify? You know, if you want to go away on a vacation and you think about sitting in the hot tub, are you really thinking about the vacation and sitting in the hot tub? Or are you thinking about the emotion that you're going to feel while you're sitting in the hot tub?
Ooh.
Because if you're an anxious person, the chances are you're going to take your anxious state on your vacation. And now you're going to be in the Caribbean in the hot tub. And wherever you go, there you are. And now you're having the same emotion that you had when you were at home. So why are you on vacation? What you're looking for is that emotion that you think you're going to get while you're in the hot tub. And so if you can start to practice that, A, you know, the holiday won't become as necessary, but B, you're going to be able to practice and get that same response wherever you are.
Yeah, it's so true, you know, and in your book also, you talk about many of the techniques that are taught by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And I was blessed enough to have him on the show here. And you learned so much when you went to his workshop back in 2016, I think. But
he was just growing back in 2016. And now he's pretty massive in how
right.
He's
massive.
For me, the key was, I mean, I remember the first time sitting there listening, he used heart math. He brought heart math into all of his stuff. But he really, I guess, made that concept of anxiety being an addiction. I just remember sitting in his audience and hearing him discuss this concept and thinking, I'm totally addicted to anxiety. Those patterns have been going over and over and over and over and over. I have to break the pattern. And, so he really motivated me to get into all this work.
Is that wonderful and good for you? I mean, that was a game changer for me as well. I mean, it really was, because it, you know, and it is science. I mean, we do produce those chemicals, you know, and we do become addicted to certain mind states. And so we can become addicted to being in the now and thinking positively and spinning
exactly
those negative thoughts and loving yourself. And, you know, that's, if we do more of that, we can create those things and become addicted to those states as well.
That's right.
Let's talk about coherence and creating coherence. I mean, This is a whole wax. I mean, this is what your book is about. So Tell me about why you called it the coherence revolution.
Well, coherence at its very basic definition is about balance. It's about being in sync. And you know, we all experience it. I mean, you've heard an athlete say that they were really in the zone. And when an athlete's in the zone, their physiology is coherent. Everything is in rhythm with each other. Their digestive system, their thought process, their heart rhythm, their breathing rhythm, everything is in sync with each other. And you know, you walk into a room and sometimes you are just so attracted to a person across the room and you just want to go speak to them.
Right.
Or sometimes someone comes in and you're like, I'm gonna, you know, stay away from them. That is a coherent feeling. Your cells are either vibrating with them or not. And in the body, the best way to create what I would call a coherent rhythm is through the heart. Because the heart's rhythm, the rhythm of the heartbeat is about 40 times stronger electrically than the brain's rhythm.
Wow.
And so there's a concept called entrainment, which is in nature, everything sort of entrains to the biggest rhythm. And so in the ocean, you see it with a small wave becoming kind of part of a bigger wave. In a clock store, you would see it that eventually all the clocks end up ticking at the frequency of the largest clock in the store. In the body, that's the heart rhythm. And so if you can get the heart rhythm into a nice, what's called a sine wave or a nice coherent rhythm, it starts to entrain the brain's rhythm and the centers of the brain that make decisions, that deal with pain, that deal with sleep, that deal with healing in your immune system. And so all of a sudden, if you start to entrain the rhythms of the body to the heart's rhythm, you get into a coherent state that you can feel. It's not a philosophical state. You feel the difference. It's a resilient state where you don't feel as much pain. You're thinking clearer. You're sleeping better. You're more resilient. You don't feel the kind of anxiety that you feel. And people have the ability to reach the state through their breath, through the way they breathe, through the what they smell, through what they taste, through the words they use, through their interactions with others. So the idea with my course is to figure out how to get coherent in every moment and design a life process that allows you in every moment to get into a coherent rhythm. Because most of us don't live by a process. We live by a destination, meaning we are going to be happy when we get wherever it is we're looking to get to.
Wow.
That's a very hard thing to live by every day, because if you haven't gotten there, then you don't deserve to be happy yet.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. That makes so much sense. By the way, guys, in case you just joined us, you're here on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen, my special guest, Dr. Mark Halpern. We're talking about his latest book today. Here it is, The Coherence Revolution. And it's going to help you get into your flow. It's finding flow on your journey to the present moment. So many things that I've talked about, but this goes way beyond and above on helping you live a healthier, happier, and I haven't even used the S word because I don't want to use spiritual, if you want to use that. But to me, spirituality and science are one and the same thing. They're discovery. So, you know, getting back into the heart, we were talking about the heart. Can you share with the audience a little bit more about the connection between, you know, the heart and the brain and those sensory neurites that we have in our hearts?
So what happens, I mean, the fact is, in just focusing on your heart, if you're breathing and you're focusing on your heart, wherever you focus, your energy goes, and wherever your energy goes, your blood flow goes. And so you can literally increase the blood flow to the heart, literally just by focusing on it.
Right.
But there's a concept called heart rate variability. When you breathe in, your heart rhythm goes up. And when you breathe out, your heart rhythm goes down. So for instance, if you breathe in and your heart rate goes up to 90 beats a minute, and you breathe out and your heart rate goes down to 70 beats a minute, your HRV, your heart rate variability, is 20, 90 minus 70. Now, the greater your HRV, the more resilient you are, the longer you live. There's mortality studies that show the greater your HRV, the greater the difference, the more adaptable you are to life. So using heart math and using some of the tools of heart math, you can actually increase your heart rate variability, which means that you're increasing your resilience, you're increasing your ability to adapt to life. In other words, you're elongating your life by learning to increase your HRV. And so by increasing your heart rate variability, you get into that coherent sine wave of a rhythm. And when that happens, it starts to entrain the brain and the digestive system and the other rhythms of the body. So by using these breathwork techniques, you're specifically using the rhythm of the heart to start to affect the other centers of the body.
That's amazing. And the sensory neurites in our heart, you know, those are emotion cells, right?
Right.
And so maybe we could get a little bit into that as well, that you teach in your book.
Well, about go ahead.
Creating that coherence with the heart and the brain, and yet, you know, the way we can really solidify things that we want to achieve, create in our body, create outside of us, create in the future, is through utilizing the emotion and the visualization and the heart-brain coherence technique. So
you know, it's funny you say that. I was just speaking to someone the other day because they had told me that they watched the movie The Secret, which I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
And I love the movie The Secret. Yeah. And, you know, over the years, though, I've heard a lot of people tell me that it didn't work for them. In other words, they did everything they said to do in the movie, but nothing happened. They made their vision board and they visualized it and they thought about the house and the love and the relationship, and nothing worked.
Right.
And the fact is the what I believe that The Secret lacked, or what they didn't focus on enough of, was the emotion. Because it has much less about the visualization and about the thinking, and it's much more about the feeling of it. If you can feel what the bed that you want to sleep in feels like, if you can feel what it's like to cook on the stove in the dream kitchen,
right.
if you can feel the hand of the loved one that you want to attract into your life, it's the feeling that does it. And, you know, I tell a story about learning heart math. I was sitting on my bed one day, and heart math has this biofeedback technology. Right. And when you are in coherence, physiological coherence, it makes a bing. It goes bing, and it tells you you're there.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm sitting on the bed, and I'm breathing properly, and I'm using my visualization, and I'm trying to visualize a cloud. I'm trying to visualize a beach. Okay. I'm trying to visualize something really relaxing or great, and nothing was working. And so I'm sitting there really, really frustrated, thinking, why is none of this working for me? What can I do? Now it's working against me. Now I'm getting more frustrated and coherent.
Sure.
So I thought, what can I visualize that's going to really make me feel this? And so I visualized my daughter, who at the time was 6 months old.
Aww.
I visualized her jumping into my arms and giving me a hug.
Yes.
And not only did I visualize the hug, but I felt the hug. As I did it, I didn't need the technology to tell me this. It went bing, but I felt this sensation. And all I can say is it was a coherent sensation. I felt incredible. And it was my first time feeling coherent. It was the first time that I felt an emotion other than anxiety. And I was able to say, wow, I just created this. And so what it showed me at the time was, you have to feel the emotion. And when you start to feel it, you can change your physiological state.
Yeah.
And so it was a real big lesson for me. You can't just sort of visualize what you want. You have to feel it. And it's the emotion that attracts energetically. It's the emotion that attracts what you want, not the thought that attracts what you want.
Wow. Does that, you know, really make a lot of sense? Because we're, you know, our hearts, you know, the magnetic, electromagnetic connection between the heart and the brain, you know, and we can regulate that, like you said, with our breath, and also bringing the emotion into the visualization of either calming us down, managing the anxiety, like you said, that loving little soul who's 6 months old or whatever, you know, and just feeling it's palpable, you know, but it's all up here. Now, it's said that the brain doesn't know the difference between us really being in full feeling coherence, like you were embracing your little baby and really, really actually in physical 3D embracing your baby. The brain doesn't know the difference, right?
And that's exactly why I talk about practicing the emotions or practicing the hot tub before you go on the vacation.
Wow.
Your brain doesn't know the difference. Maybe the intensity isn't quite the same because the reality might have more senses and more things around you. But if you can be there in your meditation or in your day-to-day life where you're closing your eyes and you're visualizing and feeling where you want to be, your brain doesn't know the difference. And so the more you practice an emotion, the more you practice the emotional state that you want, the more familiar it becomes. And so to me, it just makes sense. If you practice the emotions of the life that you want to live, then those emotions become more familiar. And if they're more familiar, they're easier to attain. And so the life you want to live just becomes easier to attain when you practice the emotions that you want to live.
Sure. You know, that makes so much sense. And you know, in your book, Coherence Revolution, you also talk about, you know, those hardwired triggers that we have and how those originate, you know, just taking a step back and kind of moving forward into creating coherence. And how our subconscious prevents us from being coherent. Can you talk a little bit about those kind of triggers? Because I mean, I think of trauma in childhood, or I think of, you know, situation. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Well, it is. Your subconscious is obviously recording everything that's going on. And so you have a complete memory of everything that's happened in your life. And one of the most, obviously, childhood and into your early teens is where you're creating all these programs that you essentially just keep playing the rest of your life. And I know for me personally, you know, in my early teen years, you go through the insecurities of the social background and all the stuff that you're going through.
Yes.
And so you start to develop these patterns of these neurological triggers.
Right.
And they can be with you your whole life. And this is where, you know, catharsis, when you're speaking to a therapist, it feels good, but just the talking of it doesn't replace the program.
Right.
You know, it is about retraining yourself and creating new programs.
Right.
You can understand your old programs, and then once you understand them, even if they're still there, you've got to start creating new ones that are stronger than the old ones. Because for me, I know I haven't had luck in getting rid of all of my old triggers. For me, at some point I said, well, I might not get rid of all these triggers, but if I create a whole bunch of new ones that are much more prevalent, that are stronger, and that are my go-tos, that now I can create a much shorter trigger I can mitigate the response I have, whether it's a financial or social or relationship or whatever it is. I still have triggers from when I was probably 10 years old.
Sure.
Except now I recognize it and I've got my tools and I can deal with it in a much easier, quicker fashion. It doesn't ruin a day, you know, it doesn't ruin the whole week, you know, a couple of hours and you do what you got to do and you get back to life.
Right. And that, you know, a lot of that has to do with what we call that mindfulness meditation, or just being mindful of triggering. I'm feeling anxious. What's going on here? Oh, that's right. I remember, I'm feeling a little slighted by this situation in my business thing. And that's triggering back to where I was feeling slighted. And I don't know, maybe you can share a little bit about your story. You know, I was reading and I vibed with that as well, where you were, I used to wear really thick glasses, you know, in elementary school.
Yes.
And of course, the big turning point of middle school. So where everyone has to be cool and try to fit in. So I still was teased and I carried a lot of that, ew, ugly, ooh, I'm not worthy kind of. Can you share your story?
Well, I was the short kid with the curly hair and the big thick glasses.
And
my glasses were so thick, you know, you could magnify them and probably burn paper with it, you know, when it was a sunny day. So you know, I was that kid for a while. I mean, contacts were actually quite good.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being very, very, I'm gonna say, confident until around the grade 6, grade 7 time. But around 12, 13, 14, that's when all the insecurities hit. And so when that happened, I just didn't have a toolbox at the time to deal with it. And it wasn't something I even discussed with my parents. I mean, I probably brought them into the situation when I was 19 or 20. So for 5, 6, 7 years of being a teenager, there was nobody I was discussing anxiety with. It was just who I was. And because I did well in school, no one really knew anything. It was fine. And I had friends.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these things were just building in the background. And by the time I was old enough to, you know, start recognizing it, the damage had already been done. And so for me, working with kids is also very rewarding. You know, I've had my kids learning heart math since literally the day they could walk and talk and be able to deal with any of this, simply because I want them to have the tools that I didn't have as a teenager and being able, you know, I don't think I went through anything that unusual. It was just, I got a lot of these triggers, and it just started forming in my subconscious.
Oh, sure. Oh, that makes so much sense. But, you know, as we use the tools of, you know, creating coherence that you suggest in your book, Coherence Revolution, a lot of those old subconscious triggers that can last a lifetime, like you said, but it just gets lower, that those triggers and the mindfulness and the awareness of, oh my gosh, I'm feeling this because, oh, that's right. It's pinging on those old feelings of whatever they may be. And everybody has their own, you know, various and sundry assorted low self-esteem or fear of rejection, or we all have it. Every single soul has it, you know? So that's beautiful.
You know, when it comes to my patients, I mean, everybody comes in with their stress, and most people believe their stress is the worst stress. And, you know, they understand everybody else suffers with stress. Right. Nobody's is quite like theirs. And it's, you know, it's very, everybody always thinks that what they're going through is so unique. And that's the other reason I wrote the book is we all go through it. And there's, you know, a lot more people suffering than we'll let on. And, you know, hopefully by me revealing, you know, my journey and suffering through anxiety, hopefully it'll make someone else realize that it's okay to go get help.
You know, you're so right. And what is awesome is that you are a doctor of and a chiropractor. So you do what it's body work. So I'm sure you're feeling, you know, you're healing, you're a healer. You're feeling not only their misalignment, but, you know, that could be reflected by this. And,
yes.
Yeah. So you having both of the skills of knowing, you know, creating coherence and also body work must be amazing.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you adjust someone, especially in the neck, it releases a vital force that the body has been stuck. And I've had many times in my practice where I've adjusted someone in the neck and they just start crying.
Oh my God.
You know, and as a chiropractor, you don't want to see someone crying on your table. There's enough horror stories out there of people, you know, making things up and horror stories. Right. But I remember once I adjusted this woman and she started crying, and she was in university, and her boyfriend happened to be with me in the room. And he said, Oh my God, she's crying. And she goes, do you know that this is the first time she's cried since I've known her? And it's been 7 years. And in fact, they told me a story that the day before she had been very depressed. She locked the door in the back of her work because she wanted to cry and she couldn't. And so as soon as I released the energy up in her neck, essentially, she just started bawling her eyes out. And it was this catharsis. She needed something to help trigger that release. And afterwards, I mean, she felt, I'm going to say coherence, because she felt amazing afterwards, because she had gotten it all out and now her nervous system could settle down. So there's so many different ways to create coherence. And that's one of them from a physiological kinesthetic standpoint.
Beautiful. I love that story, Dr. Halpern. I just love that. You know, a lot of people, you know, say, oh my gosh, especially guys, sorry guys, but I don't want to cry. I don't want to feel those feelings. I don't want, you know, it's so cathartic. It's so important that we are aware of those emotions, because we as humans need to literally cleanse. And like you said, something, you know, it's something that pops, you know, and allows us to release, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that's really brilliant to be able to really encourage, as I know you do in your work of healing.
Yes.
And chiropractic, it release those energy levels. Those do you think chakras are the real deal? I mean, do we really?
I know the energy centers, and my experience with energy centers has been predominantly with Dr. Joe, because he does a lot of meditation through the energy centers.
Right.
You know, I have suspended what I think is real and what isn't real. I've seen things happen at some of his workshops where people are literally levitating. It's just craziness that can go on. So do I believe energy centers exist? I absolutely do. Do I think we understand them fully and can explain them the way some people believe they can? I don't think so. I don't think anybody knows them exactly, maybe perhaps the way they are, but do they exist? I think it absolutely. I've seen too much and experienced too much to think there's nothing to it. So when I do meditation and I, you know, breathe through each of the energy centers, you can certainly create a very healthy physiology by doing that.
That's beautiful. So, you know, going back to sort of like being in the now and being mindful and everything, you talk in your book about how we can create coherence using all five senses or all of our senses. And are you talking about sort of being in the now when it comes to like visual, you know, auditory?
What I'm talking about is on a daily basis, if you get up, you know, you've got your day, you get up in the morning, you got your morning routine, you've got your lunch, you've got your afternoon routine, right. You have your evening. And the idea is that we are doing things all day that either deplete us or renew us.
Right.
If something depletes you, it's taking away your energy and it's make you less resilient and more susceptible to stress and anxiety. Yeah. If something is renewing for you, it's giving you energy, it's giving you positivity, it's going to make you more resilient and less susceptible to anxiety. And so if you look at, I talk about in the book about even small things, talk about your coffee cup.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a coffee cup and you're drinking it all day.
Yeah.
Well, you just happen to have one that drips. And so it's dripping down your lip 20 times a day and you're annoyed and you're doing this all day. By the end of the day, you've done that 20 or 30 times. It's a depleting thing for your day.
Yes.
The clothes you wear, the visuals that you look at, the pictures on your desk, the smells in your office, the smells in your bedroom.
Right.
Everything we do on a daily basis either depletes us or renew us. So part of the course, it takes you through this self-inquiry so that you can figure out what smells don't you ever want around you and right. Which ones might perk you up in the morning, which ones might relax you in the evening. What type of things, what kind of visuals do you want on your desk? Do you want your desk to have a window so you're looking outside? Are you currently looking at an electric field and like electric posts that just kind of freak you out all day?
Sure.
Your clothing, do you like it tight and fit? Do you like it soft and comfy? They all produce different emotional states.
Wow.
So the idea is that you want to find out what works for you. What music do you like? What sounds do you like?
Wow.
You know, so you can use each of your senses to go through each of them. And then you can go through nature. I mean, just going for a walk, I have people tell me all the time, they enjoy walking to work, but they walk straight down Main Street. Well, Main Street is stimulating stress and anxiety.
Right.
Whereas if you're walking by the park, now you're stimulating alpha in the brain, which is more relaxation, more healing. And so the idea is, where are you going to go take your walk? So you're going to make the extra effort to go in the trees, or are you going to just sort of say, okay, I'm just going to walk down the street? So these are all choices that we can make. And I want you to be very clear on it. So you know that you've set your schedule up so that you know you're doing all of these things throughout the day and you've got a toolbox that you can work with.
Oh, that's beautifully said. I love that. By the way, in case you just joined us here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Dr. Mark Halpern. He's the author of his latest book. It's called Coherence Revolution, Finding Flow on Your Journey to the Present Moment. And it's all about that. And it's wonderful. It's a workbook too. We're going to find out a little bit more about your courses and how people can, you know, get into that and really learn how to create coherence. I just wanted on your point of creating an environment visually, sensory, auditory, you know, everything. How about the thing with taking on energy from others? Now you talked about, you know, going out on Main Street. You're going to walk to work. Great. You're going to breathe the air. Oh, this energy from how do we create coherence or better health mentally and physically when we're in a situation with a boss, those of us who have had to go back to an office situation or even stress remotely, or having a partner or having friends who are
so it's interesting. HeartMath did an experiment where they had four people.
Yeah.
And they had three people in all separate rooms.
Right.
And they had three people trained in creating coherence.
Okay.
And then they had a fourth that was just told to sit there, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
And as the other three started to create heart coherence, they did a technique called, I forget the name of the technique, but it was basically about sharing it with others.
Oh, okay.
And so what they would do is they got themselves coherent, but then they visualized radiating out the feeling of love and coherence. And sure enough, the person in the fourth room, when they did the readings on their heart went into coherence as well. And so the idea is that you can't always be around people that are coherent. You can't always affect everybody else You can't tell them to do it because they may not want to, or they may not know how to, or they may not be in the mood to. However, you can always go inside your own body and brain and, you know, and energy, and start to create coherence in you and radiate out towards others. And, you know, I've done this at places like maybe a waiter has been rude to me at, you know, at a meal. And I use this as almost like a superpower, and I use it to sometimes have fun and experiment when I'm in social settings. So I just sort of, when the waiter went away, I did some heart coherence for me, and I started radiating it out to him. And he came back 10 or 15 minutes later, and he kind of just said, you know, sorry, everything's taking so long. It's been a hard day. And he kind of explained himself. And I thought, you know, I think I just had an effect on him because
his energy
just changed. And
yeah.
So, you know, whether I did or not, I don't know. I like to believe I did, because I like to read the research that HeartMath is doing and sort of try to use it in my own life. But right. We do have an effect on others. And
yes.
You know, people have to discern for themselves, because a lot of times it could be a family member that triggers you, or right. A family member that depletes you. And so right. I think everybody has to do their own assessment of who is it that I have to avoid, and who is it that I have to put up a stronger shield. In other words, if I know I'm going to my family's home and we don't get along, then I know that maybe I've got to get myself into a real coherent state, do a meditation beforehand, create some joy, do something to make me laugh, something to change my physiology before I go see them.
Oh, yeah.
But I do believe, whether it's friends, family, or whoever it is, I think you also do have to make a judgment upon what is healthy for you and what's not. And if you've deemed that somebody is just not healthy for you, you have to reduce the amount of time you're around those people. Otherwise, you're the one that's going to suffer for it.
Right. So we're changing sort of our consciousness and we're creating more coherence and sending out love. It's kind of like the Maharishi effect, right? Where they have the mass groups, right, changing the crime rate in the cities, meditating on love and things like that. So if we do that, let's say to others around us who are difficult in the work environment, personal, whatever, we're kind of putting out that positive energy to maybe make a shift in their consciousness or keep it, you know, a little mellower, you know, to have a little more flow with them. Are we building up an arc shield, so to speak?
Well, the more coherent you are, the more resilient you are. And okay. So, yes, I do like to think of it as my shield. In other words, the only thing I can affect when I go out into public and social settings is me. And so it's about my state. And if I can create the best state possible, I'm going to be able to handle all of it. But there is a concept that I really think is cool, that HeartMath, they have something called the Coherence Initiative. Global Coherence Initiative. And what they're trying to do is get enough people at one time to feel a specific emotion so that we can actually change the planet.
Wow.
And they got some research on this way back, September 11th, 2001, when the planes hit the building. There were enough people staring at their screens, their TVs, with grief, that there was actually a blip in the Earth's electromagnetic field at the same frequency as the human heart. In other words, we were feeling the emotion of grief when we changed the planet's electromagnetic field.
Oh my
and so
God.
What HeartMath is saying is, what if we all held the feeling of love? What if we held the feeling of gratitude? Could we change the Earth's electromagnetic field enough to heal the ozone, to heal the planet? And so I think it's really cool that they're doing this research now that shows that not only can we affect each other,
right,
but we can also affect the planet itself. And so I like the concept of creating individual coherence. A, it helps you on an individual level. B, it helps the community. And then C, it helps the planet. So it really is a triple threat when you're creating coherence within yourself.
Boy, is that beautifully said. Can you tell listeners and viewers how they can get a hold of your book? Coherence Revolution, Finding Flow on Your Journey to the Present Moment. And also, how can they get into your online course? I mean, that's an amazing course that you offer, and they're going to learn a lot.
I'm really excited. We're going to be doing another launch.
So what's the best way?
In January. It's www.coherencerevolution.com/2022. So that's one way. And when you go there, you're going to be able to get a free ebook. So anybody that wants the ebook, you can download the ebook. And there's also a 50% off coupon if you want to do either the workbook or the online course. So you'll get at least a free ebook or 50% off. And so that was at www.coherencerevolution.com/22. Or you can text the word coherence to 647-955-7411. So let me just say that one more time. Yeah. Text coherence to 647-955-7411. And so if you either one of those will allow you to get a 50% off discount for the course or a free ebook or both.
Beautiful. Well, it's about that time we have to wrap up, unfortunately. It goes so fast.
I just love you today.
Thank you for being here on the couch.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, it's the book, Coherence Revolution, Dr. Mark Halpern. It's a revolutionary book. Great read. You won't want to put it down. And you heard it right here on the couch on LA Talk Radio. Thank you so much again, Dr.
Halpern. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, loved it. All right. Take good care now. Blessings.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. As I always say, take care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for being on the couch. Bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.